from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Time now for the Six Rings Postgame Show, breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
The gravity rolls. It's got to get you feeling good, a little confidence. First NFL touchdown drive for Drake May. Said he was a little nervous last week. Why wouldn't he be? But all eyes on him. I asked you guys during a break. You think maybe it'll get him outside the pocket.
Yep.
And this is something you can do. A little quick fake inside to Hasty. He takes it all the way in. Shows the football. He's got to get him feeling good.
The good people of Patriots Nation. The Foxborough faithful. With their hearts broken, bleeding red like the sleeves of their favorite defender who was traded to the land of the Dirty Birds but a day ago, braved the weather, the elements, bad traffic, construction, and so much more to make it down to their favorite football stadium tonight with probably what amounted to a pretty short wish list, which would have included a good time, some warm food and cold beverages, but most importantly from their football team, they probably wanted to see their rookie quarterback make a couple of plays, perhaps drop a dime or two, hopefully score his first professional touchdown, and escape the game on his own 2 feet with good health in hand. And dare I say, were it not for a drop from my guy, the one who I hyped up, he owes us one. I'm sure in his mind he's already taken a lap for the team, and each and every one of us who freaked out when the Patriots got him in the fourth round, Javon Baker, save for that drop on a 50-yard dime from quarterback Drake May, I think we should all walk away from tonight's 14-13 defeat at the hands of the second string and third string and possibly fourth string Philadelphia Eagles at Gillette Stadium with a little pep in our step. With a little giddy up in the hitch, with a little happy in the heart, because I'll say, right now, and I can't wait to run this by my co-host momentarily when he joins us here on the Six Rings Postgame Show on WEEI Boston Sports Original. I am very interested to hear if Andy thinks it is now time to lower our over/under of expectations for when Drake May should start a game. I think Drake May looked pretty good tonight. Now, he was only 6 of 11 for 47 yards. He did score his first touchdown. It was a third and goal from the 4. Made a nice little boot to the right. Found his gap. Took it into the house. Extended the ball. These are the things he does. As a matter of fact, I was even most excited on his first set of downs. A little energy in the stadium when Drake May first entered the game tonight. Jacoby Brissett, for some reason, I'm not sure if he doesn't want the job, if he just made a bad read for someone who is known as a good protector of the ball and is turnover averse. It was a surprise to see him march the team down the field and then zip an interception in the back of the end zone, a poorly thrown ball. The intended target, second string tight end Austin Hooper, looked like the Philadelphia lineman that he threw to was the intended target, with Austin Hooper as the pass coverage safety or linebacker on the play. I dare say Jacoby Brissett did nothing to inspire extra confidence or make us think, yeah, let's sit the kid a little while longer. No. When Drake May entered the game tonight, there was a palpable uptick in energy. There was definitely a little bit of a din, if not a small roar, from the crowd of what I would imagine was about 40-something thousand tonight. Again, the weather, the elements, the fact that, you know, fans are a little unhappy with the way things are going, and it is also preseason. Can't catch a good Thursday weather-wise in the preseason to save our lives, Andy Hart. But I will say this, Drake May's first drive tonight, false start. It wasn't his fault. It was on the line. It was, I believe, on his running back, but still false start. And then we had a scramble to make up a scramble and a dart for a first down to Javon Baker. There were some bad reads. There were a couple of throws that were a tad ugly. There was the dime to Baker, and there was the rushing touchdown. All things told, Andy, as I said at the top of the program tonight, if your wish list was, I want to see Drake May make a couple of pretty passes, drop one or two in the bucket, maybe score a touchdown, and emerge scot-free, healthy and upright, even though it seemed like Vidarian Lowe wanted to get him killed at the end of the game, or maybe it was Vidarian Lowe and Nick Leverett combined. That's a fourth-string offensive line if ever I saw one in the UFL. By and large, I think we should feel as though things trended uppish in tonight's 14-13 defeat against the Eagles.
So this may surprise you. I think there should be very much consideration for Drake May playing sooner rather than later, maybe as soon as week one. And I think it has very little to do with Drake May. And as is so often the case in these situations, it isn't really about the rookie quarterback. It's about the guy that you have that you're going to be willing to play ahead of him. And Jacoby Brissett has been abysmal in two preseason games. Absolutely
horrific.
Yeah, not
great, Bob.
Horrific. And you mentioned it. If he's going to turn the ball over, the one thing he's supposed to not do is turn the ball over and make stupid.
Correct.
And he forced it to Hooper for a pick, and then he was under pressure and did his damnedest to make a rookie mistake and throw another pick on the next drive. Forget the overthrows, the underthrows, the screwing of Thornton last week on the deep ball, missing Hooper this week. Jacoby Brissett has been god-awful for two preseason games. To me, that, as much as anything Drake May has done, has opened the door for Drake May to maybe get the opportunity to start week one, week two, week five, wherever it may be. Because Drake May definitely injected some life into Patriot Nation tonight, and we needed that. You may say there were 40,000 people there. At kickoff, it looked like about 8 people. Not 8,000, just 8. There was nobody in the building. It was empty.
It should be noted, and I bet you heard this as well, that the Patriots were forced because of the weather conditions with lightning in the area. It was super fun. I was only an hour and a half late getting to the stadium tonight because of rain, lightning, Massolia drivers, and all the conditions therein. I'm sure Bill Belichick would have probably sent me home, and then I would have had some sort of line about the Jetsons thereafter. # Adalys Thomas reference. But it was miserable out there, and I don't blame the fans. But they couldn't even open the gates until I think it was either 5:50 or 6. That said,
nobody
at
was
kickoff,
rushing.
No joke. Maybe 12,000. Maybe 10,000, 12,000.
Sparse.
It was scarce and sparse. I know. I was not the only
like COVID
one.
Again. I was like, wait, are we in a pandemic again? There's fake cardboard.
Are they pumping in fake crowd noise? It's COVID. Is this the RCA Dome? No, I was not. I was one of many to tweet out a photo of the stadium and invite all of my friends and my friends' friends and their family to come on down, because there was plenty of room for everybody. By the time we got to halfway through the first quarter, the hundreds filled up, the 200s mostly filled up, the 300s, there was not a lot of people up there. Yes, exactly.
If you said 300s tonight, you're a moron.
Or just a gamer, or a hardo, or you You have an affection for altitudes. I had to run up to say hello to some friends that were up in 309 tonight. Holy smokes, I needed a Sherpa and an oxygen mask. I forgot how high
up there they are. Oh, yeah. It's a little scary. It's a little scary up there.
Jeez, well, a little misstep in the... Excuse me?
I'm just saying.
Excuse me?
Just saying.
Excuse me?
The IPAs.
Hey, smart guy, which one of us just ran a half marathon? Pipe down.
I don't know. Which one of us has run two marathons, right? Four half marathons, and more 10Ks than I can shake a stick at? That'd be me.
All right, we'll stop arguing and take Coach Jerod Mayo now instead.
That one kind of stings. First loss as a head coach. And, you know, just like last week, we talked about this game being very important, especially, you know, after we practiced against this team and I felt like the guys were ready to go. I just got to do a better job making sure that we focus on the details across the board. And I always believe in good fundamentals really outweighs the X's and O's. If you look at the game, you know, the first half, we tackled a lot better than we did the second half. It's those three or four plays that always bite you. That's what I told the team. The problem is you just never know when those plays are going to show up. So back to the drawing board.
Jerod, you said that Drake would get more snaps. Just what did you see of him, particularly his poise and getting into the end zone?
Yeah, he had great composure. I thought it was a good drive. I thought he went out there and did a lot of good things. So hopefully he can build on that, and we'll see how this week goes.
Jerod, we haven't had a chance to talk to you since the Matthew Judon trade. I was wondering if you could comment on that.
Look, I mean, you guys know how I feel about Judon, and, you know, obviously he's moving on. It's a win-win for both parties, and I wish him nothing but the best. I always tell the guys these are long-term relationships, and nothing's changed.
Building off that, Jerod, who are some of the players that you think might be a big part of filling, you know, what Judon would have done for you?
Yeah, we've gone years without having a premier rusher, right? You know, Chandler Jones, the Judons of the world. But we were able to manufacture pass rush through our stunts and games and, you know, our game planning. So, look, it's not going to be one person. It's hard to sit here and say one person can replace Matthew Judon, both on the field and off the field. But I think we have a good group ready to go and step into those shoes.
Jerod, you know, with Drake, it looked like you guys put him in shotgun. You put him in some empty, some zone read stuff that looked like what he did in college. How important was it to use some of those concepts that maybe he was familiar with to get him comfortable?
It's very important to do those things. Like you said, you know, he did it in college, and, you know, the problem is from college to here is just the language. And once you can start to link the language that you learned in college to the language that you're learning right now, I mean, the game becomes a little bit easier from an X's and O's perspective. So I look forward to seeing how he builds off of today, but he did a lot of good things.
Jerod, what went into the decision to play Drake so much more tonight than last week? Was that always the plan?
Yeah, that was always the plan. Kind of what I told you guys last week, that was always the plan to play him more. It was the plan to play him in the third quarter so we can go through some of those adjustments and see if he can handle that stuff, and he did.
Hey, Jerod.
Hey, Doug.
I know it's been against backup offensive lines the first two preseason games, but how much of the success that you guys have had pass rushing do you think can translate?
Yeah, it's been good to see that. I would say if you watch the defensive film against the Eagles, they had their starters in there, and we still were able to generate a good amount of pass rush. So it's exciting, and at the same time, look, it doesn't matter when you come out here today and, you know, kind of, you know, you just don't have those impactful plays later in the game. So
back to the middle.
Jerod, I know you guys had the design run.
Oh, sorry, here, Pat.
Design run at the goal line, but a few other plays. Drake May takes off running, scrambles, also scrambling to the side, throws the ball away. How are you feeling about your top pick taking off running, escaping the pocket that much in a preseason game?
You don't want to see them take big hits. You know, I talked to Joe when he came off the field, when he tried to run over a guy. You know, these are grown men on the other side as well. What I will say, if you look at the best quarterbacks in the league, they have to be able to make those off-schedule plays. And I would say all three of those guys, well, all of them really have the ability to do that. It's more about the hits. It's okay getting out the pocket.
Hi, Jerod. Hey. You talk about Drake May's composure. I was just curious how you've kind of seen that grow throughout this preseason, and what about it tonight that especially stuck out to you?
Well, one of the reasons we drafted Drake was, you know, through the interview process, you could kind of tell this was an even-keeled guy. And I think you guys can probably see it, you know, from the stands. This guy doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. He was like that in college. He probably was like that as a kid, and he remains that way now, which is a good thing for a quarterback. You know, those guys have to, you know, they have to maintain their composure and get the call to the huddle and get those guys out the huddle and be ready to go. So he's always been like that in my mind.
Gerard, for Drake's touchdown, you had six rookies on the field at the same time. How have you seen this group gel, and just kind of how cool of a moment was that for all those guys to be there?
Yeah, it was great. It was great. And look, we hope that these guys can grow up together and develop together, and we have a good nucleus of guys in the future. And that's what, you know, that's kind of what we were aiming for.
Alan Siegel on your left.
Gerard, how much of a case is Kayshawn Booty making for not only stay with his team, but to be a consistent part of this offense?
Yeah, I mean, he's making a great case. It seems like every day he's making plays. He runs good routes. He, you know, he has good hands. The run after the catch ability, it's all there. You know, now it's about just gaining the trust not only of your teammates but also the coaches. So he definitely has a chance.
Gerard, you talk about there are a lot of details that can be improved. Can you talk about the two drops from Javon Baker? Is that something that he can practice during the training, or that's some concentration he can pay more attention to?
Absolutely. I think it's a combination of, you know, concentration, figuring out what he has to do. And, well, he has good hands. He had good hands in college. He has good hands now. He just, you know, he has to show that in the game.
Two more questions.
Oh, Gerard, I know you've mentioned in the past that one of Drake May's positives is that he can make plays by himself and overcome some things around him. I was wondering, would the offensive line ever be an impediment to maybe considering him as the starter, or maybe, you know, not giving him as much time if you don't trust the line?
Yeah, for me, we always talk about competition, and that's at all spots. So even if Drake, you know, beats out Jacoby, I mean, he earned that role. And we don't really take that into consideration when he's ready to go. And if he's better than Jacoby, then he'll play. He'll start.
Gerard, what did you see from your offensive line tonight?
There were definitely some ups and some downs. I would say there's a dramatic drop-off, not really physically, but just knowing what to do between the first line and the, you know, the second and third guys. They have to get better as a whole, as a unit. They just have to get better, and that comes through playing football games. So we have another preseason game coming up. We're going to play, and that's the only way you're going to get better at football is playing football. Thanks, guys.
That's the only way you're going to get better at football is by playing football. Once again, another Gerard Mayo preseason postgame presser that leaves us with a couple of interesting takeaways, nuggets, and quotes. Last week, I believe it was, this week's game doesn't, we talked all week that this week's game doesn't count, but it matters. And now, the only way you get better at football is by playing football. I agree with those words. And I agree with these two words, Andy. I'm going to share two tweets with you. And I want you to take these into break as we will prepare our big segment, the topic of the night, Drake may he be the answer, and may he be the starting quarterback week one. From Dan Orlovsky an hour ago, what a fantastic throw by May. Tremendous eyes, backside and slide. Looks more comfortable as game is going on. Reps are his best friend. Okay. Also, Louis Riddick of ESPN, seen a couple of games in his life. More people trust his analysis than not. Drake May, play him. Seems like some people are moving on from the take Drake to the hashtag play Drake movement, Andy, which I know makes you very happy. We will get into that and so much more on the other side, as well as revisit a couple of things that Gerard Mayo said. We'll also give you the words of Drake May once he takes to the post-game presser. See what we can share with you from that, as well as any other players with interesting nuggets and tidbits. We'll take your calls. We'll have Andy's thumbs up and thumbs down later on. See, I got it right this week. You're welcome. And so much more. We're with you until midnight here on the Six Rings postgame show on WEEI. 617-779-7937 is your portal to join the show. And now your portal for trending sports news is the one and only Joe Braverman.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For Trent.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Be in that situation so you stay after extra and take extra snaps.
3rd-10.
Beautiful ball. Well, damn, absolutely, Joe.
Oh, man, 3rd-10. May gets the yardage back on 2nd down after the drop snap. But you'll see him here. Hasty to his right, offset. There's your protection. Good slide to the left right there.
And his footwork, he steps right up in the pocket, loads up, and just throws a beautiful pass to Javon Baker, who's made some incredible catches throughout training camp.
Oh, yeah, man.
And just, he has it, hits the ground, and he's not able to hold on to it.
Shout out producer Joe Braverman, who told me as he queued up the song that joined our highlight, of course, the beautiful 50-yard pass so effortlessly thrown by quarterback Drake May into the leaping arms of my guy, Javon Baker. I'll get it out of the way, Andy. No need to comment further. I'm already in mourning right now. I've painted all the mirrors in the house. I'm sitting Shiva for that drop for 7 days that he had to play. It's going to be May by NSYNC, and it looked as though almost the Patriots offense was in sync a couple of times tonight as well, as we return here on the Six Rings postgame show live on WEEI until midnight. You can join us 617-779-7937. What was so remarkable about that pass, Andy, not that it was just so pinpoint accurate, but you even heard the description there from the unique broadcast, once again brought to you by our friends here at Kraft Sports with Zoe and the McCourties. Did you, in watching it, I'm not sure if you went back and watched it a couple times, either on TV or on social media, it was effortless. I mean, he stepped up, he took one slide step forward, and then didn't even chuck it. It still looked like it was a bit of a flick or just a gentle throw. This guy has arm strength to spare, and it was nice, again, on that little short wish list, we entered the game tonight against the Eagles, or the second string Eagles, or whoever actually played from... the Philadelphia Eagles tonight. It was nice to see him check off that box on the wish list, drop a dime, make a big time throw. I think Pats fans are probably on their way home right now talking about that play, chief amongst all the other things they saw tonight.
I actually thought his throw to Baker earlier on the first drive was just as nice down the left sideline. Baker got forced out of bounds and then came in and kind of dropped it on that one as well. I think that ability, the deep balls are the nicest balls for Drake May so far. It's weird. He's been far. We're not doing that. We're having a serious post game show. I'm talking about football.
Oh, now you get to decide when it's a serious post game.
This is serious show. Drake May talk. Let the adults have the floor for a minute.
Well, then usher some into the room because they're not here right now.
The inconsistencies have come on the short throws. You even saw the one to Booty had to make the great catch on the sideline, one that kind of got away
nice
from
catch.
Him.
Yeah.
But when he just kind of plants and throws, or, as you said, shows the ability to step up, and I won't put it quite in the Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen range, but an ability that we certainly haven't seen in, I'm trying to think last time we saw it, uniquely, not in my lifetime.
A long time.
Not in my lifetime. Not in my lifetime for the Patriots. We have not seen the ability, because some of it is modern quarterbacking. You know, certainly Brady could throw the ball. I'm just saying that ability to kind of float forward in the pocket and just flick it, that was not a Brady thing. And it certainly wasn't a Mac Jones thing. You can't leave this game tonight as a Patriots fan and not at least be optimistically intrigued by Drake May. And the other aspect that I want to bring in here, and I've been talking about this for a while, because you know, Maniac wanted Drake May, want Drake May to start sooner rather than later. And then at some point in camp, I became a little bit disenchanted, a little disappointed with his development.
You were slightly discouraged. Yeah.
Yes. I think he's a game day guy. I think he's a competitor. I think when the bullets are flying, as Gerard Mayo says, I think he steps up to the challenge. I think he likes that reality of 11 on 11 and they can hit me, but I can run past them kind of atmosphere. I'm just intrigued. And as I said, when you juxtapose his performance to that of Jacoby Brissett's, I think there are a lot of people in New England have been like, okay, kind of seen enough of Jacoby Brissett 2.0 in New England. This isn't all that fun. I don't think I really want to see this. And that's what got Josh Allen, for example, in the lineup in Buffalo. It wasn't so much Josh Allen was definitely ready. It was, we're going to put this Peterman kid out here again. This guy sucks. And, you know, Russell Wilson in Seattle, like, all of a sudden the young guy, it's just like, we don't have any better, so give the young guy a chance. And Drake May is entering the conversation of, we might not have anything better, so why don't we just give the young guy a chance?
Yeah, I remember Russell Wilson beat out Matt Flynn, who had not so long prior gotten a big contract out in Seattle as well. So that was quite a surprise. But he absolutely, if anyone remembers the 2012 preseason outside of us football hardos here, it was thoroughly impressive. Like, absolutely just went out, staked claim to that job, and won it. And while Drake May hasn't done that yet, you did hear Gerard Mayo in his postgame presser, and we can grab some of those comments and share them with you throughout the show. He did say, you know, whoever plays, he still has a chance to win it. We're going to play whatever quarterback plays best and gives us the best chance to win. If you were watching tonight's game, or through two games, you can't decide anything last week. You know, and last week, of course, we took all the calls. Joe Milton, oh my gosh, oh, you know. We let everyone have their Milton Mania moment, because as we were discussing in the postgame last week, and it carried through into the broadcast days here on EEI, the fans are so starving. They are so thirsty. They are so desperate for some excitement, electricity, and playmaking that they were willing to go head over heels for Joe Milton last week. Yes, he's very physically talented. Yes, he's acrobatic, and he's a lot of fun. But your future was under center tonight, folks. And Andy used the phrase, optimistically intrigued. I'm going to go by reasonably encouraged. I am reasonably encouraged not only that Drake May can be a pro-level quarterback, but that he should be starting sooner than later. And yes, that does include some gauntlet games early on in the season, Thursday night in the mouth of hell down in New Jersey against the Jets, and also on the road week four against a potential Super Bowl challenger in the San Francisco 49ers. Why would you want to, if quarterbacks and top-level analysts are telling you, play this kid, reps are his best friend at this point, why would you deny him reps when you have clearly outlined, you have made the case by pursuing certain receivers that you really wanted, certain blue-chip type players that you wanted to trade for, that you wanted to pay for, and on your own team, like Matt Judon, and we'll do the whole Judon impasse and ultimate trade later. We'll get to all that, but here's Drake May live at the podium.
Drake, just your thought on getting more snaps and Jacoby just was saying, and the McCourty twins, that you got to get a better celebration when you go into the end zone for a touchdown.
Yeah, I didn't really plan on a rushing one. I probably should have thought of one. In college, I did the finger roll, but I was just happy to get in the end zone. Happy to score points. I think, it's fun to get out there. You know, I'm glad the weather held off. And other than that, thought the guys did a good job. I thought up front they fought hard. Just little things, you know, giving me getting the snap. I think we had a false start. Just kind of little things that we're preaching over and over operationally that we had to clean up and hopefully cost us part of the game. So.
Drake, much has been said about you only got one series last week. How much are you looking forward to breaking down at least two quarters of game tape going forward?
Yeah, I think it's an awesome opportunity. I think, you know, definitely some things I can clean up. Had some good things, had some bad plays. I said the drop snaps, you know, inexcusable for me. And other than that, probably just sometimes feel like I'm scrambling when I can probably sit in there and hang on and try to make a throw. So definitely a lot of things to learn from. Good to get out there and, like I said, I get some tape to learn from. But other than that, you know, I thought until the guys fought, I think we played hard. You know, you can look at a lot of things, but you know, one thing you can't question is our effort, and that it really starts it all.
Gerard had mentioned earlier this week that just between joint practice and this game, it could be good for building your confidence. I'm just wondering where your confidence is now after tonight.
Yeah, I think every time you get out there, I think you kind of get more and more confident. You know, first off, you know, it's always going to be the nerves, you know, going out there, running out there the first time. But other than that, yeah, I think, you know, the more reps, I think it's only going to help me. And at the end of the day, I'm just, you know, fortunate to be able to get out there and get some reps and try to make the most of my opportunities.
Drake, how did this week feel compared to last week when you were out there?
Yeah, I think definitely the joint practice helped. I think you know, being able to, you know, face the team in practice before you play them in a game is always a huge help, especially seeing different looks and hey, you know, if they do this, you know, you're thinking this, just kind of some really like answers to the test before you take the test. But I think some plays that helped us, and also sometimes you kind of scheme up each other off of practice. But you know, they're a good football team. I think they're, you know, they're a strong contender in the NFC, and I think it was, you know, good chance for us to, you know, learn from it and look at the tape, and especially offensively, just clean up the little things operationally and make sure you run the right route, getting the snap. A lot of those things kind of, you know, they may not notice them, you know, from y'all, but they add up and can trickle down to, you know, in this league, you know, the margin of error.
Hey, Drake. On your touchdown, you're on the field with five other rookies from, you know, this class. Just wondering, how special of a moment was that to be on the field with, you know, those guys, and what's it been like gelling with that group?
Yeah, it's an awesome moment. We always spent a lot of time in here in the rookie meetings. During the spring, it was just us. So, you know, it was definitely cool having those guys out there. I think one of the first things I did was, I think I chest bumped, you know, JP. So, just cool to be out there with some of the guys that are in the same spot, going through the same thing. And, you know, fun time for us, that, you know, moment I'll probably never forget.
Drake, there's a third down completion you had to Javon that I just wanted to ask you about. If you could just walk us through what you saw in that play. It looked like you came to it backside.
Yeah, not to get into too much defense. They rolled down to safety and, you know, took away the options. And, you know, I feel like coming back backside, had an in cut that I think I missed in practice this week that I probably could have thrown. So, like I said, just learning from practice, try to translate it to the game. From Allen
on your left. Drake, we were talking with Jacoby, and he mentioned that after the touchdown, you got a bit excited and sort of lost track of the ball for the first touchdown. Did you end up finding out what happened to the ball from the touchdown run?
Yeah. You know, my guy Dev and the equipment, shout out those guys. They got it and taped it up. So, you know, pretty cool deal.
Hi, Drake. One thing that's been talked about a lot tonight is your composure. I was just wondering if you could talk us through if that's always been a part of your game or how you feel that's kind of developed as you've kind of gotten into the NFL.
Yeah, I think, you know, our job as a quarterback not to get too rattled, try to stay cool and calm and collected over there, and, you know, especially on the sideline. Sometimes I tend to throw my helmet or something. Little things like that can kind of go a long way with just kind of your guys and how they're feeling and kind of setting the tone. So I'm trying to stay cool, calm. I probably need to get a little more excited when good things happen. You know, my parents always get on me, say I don't show enough emotion when good things happen. But at the same time, you can't just, you know, ride the highs and you can't, you know, get them down in the lows. So just trying to, you know, stay kind of even keel.
Drake, it looked like they were putting you in concepts that maybe you used in college. There was a lot of shotgun, empty, zone read stuff. How much did that help you get comfortable? And did you discuss that with AVP in terms of concepts that you're familiar with and comfortable with?
Yeah, I think that's the great thing about this offense with what AVP does. We do a lot of different things. We can spread it out and empty. We can get 12 personnel, 13 personnel on the football. So we do a lot of different things. We got keepers. We got kind of the whole nine yards. So I think a lot of the stuff that kind of translates from college, other than getting in the huddle and using the cadence, it all translates. So I think that's a good point. And also we go through kind of a list of plays you like before we're going out there. We're not just going out there just kind of not knowing what's going on. So we got a little bit of idea of, hey, it's third and medium. I think this call is coming. This is what I told him I liked. So does a great job of kind of understanding our feedback from all four of us and just kind of calling what we like. So that's an awesome kind of way for us to connect.
Thank you very much. Dietrich is there.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay, I'm not going to mince words. This team is not going to win a whole boatload of football games this year, but I like that kid. I like him. I like him a lot. He's fun to listen to. He's got good vibes. He throws a pretty football. He's got a long way to go to look like the kind of polished diamond that you continue talking about being unable to break, Andy Hart. But I'll tell you, I like him, and I really think, as I was just getting going on a rant right before Drake May came up here live on the Six Rings postgame show, I was getting going on the idea, like, look, you didn't get Ridley, you didn't get Ayuk, you didn't spend big money on a left tackle in the offseason, you just traded away Matt Judon for whatever reason or reasons you believed it was in the best interest of the football team to deal away arguably your best defensive player and somebody who certainly could improve your football team right now. You're in the play the young guys and lay the foundation movement, as Gerard Mayo has said. Some will say it's the season of suck, some may call it a tankathon, whatever. You're obviously embracing the youth movement as you try to figure out who are your keepers and who are your tent poles. So I'll ask you this. What the hell does starting Jacoby Brissett do aside from, honestly, what does it do aside from make sure you get your offensive line set and you don't get your rookie quarterback killed, Andy?
Yeah, I mean, that's the answer. If you feel he's not quite ready or the line or the offense is not quite ready, that Jacoby Brissett can lean on experience. He's been on some bad football teams, some bad offenses. He's, been in some of these situations that maybe that benefits him and the team over the short haul. But if he's going to play the way he's playing and May is going to show the ability that he's showing. Now, we need to be clear. Eagles backups. You put Eagles starters out there. You put 49ers starters out there. It's a different story. Things are going to get faster. They're going to get harder. The hits are going to come. And that's some of the consideration that I look at. But you kind of mocked my you can't break a diamond. Like, life is hard as a quarterback in the NFL. So, taking your lumps early, and I love his demeanor. He was just talking about his mom gives him a hard time. He doesn't celebrate enough, but he tries to stay even keeled. One of my favorite things I've seen on the training camp field is him making a nice throw, and he does this little fist in the air where he kind of squeezes his fist, like, yeah, that's what I do. And I like it. I don't think he needs to act like every throw is a great throw, every pass is like, no. You've been there before. You're going to be there again. This is what I do. I don't need to go crazy kind of thing. And I said it earlier, the fact that my biggest concern with him at this point in his development is short throws. And if that's your biggest concern with a young quarterback, I think you're doing a pretty good job two preseason games into his career. Like, the deep balls, the athleticism, the decision-making is a work in progress, but it always will be. It is for a 9-year veteran like Jacoby Brissett. So, yeah, I don't want to ride the roller coaster, but I will say, you read the Dan Orlovsky tweet earlier, reps are his friend or something right now. Reps are our best, indeed. Whatever. That was the guy who said he should sit for 2 years. Now he's saying reps are his friend? Holy reactionary. Like, fans can never be called overreactionary. When Dan Orlovsky pre-draft said the guy should sit for 2 years and now is saying reps are his friend, because I'm taking that to mean he thinks he needs to play more. And I don't think he's wrong. I think he was wrong the first time. But that's what Drake May has done. He's given you the reason to believe maybe he should play.
He has definitely given people a reason to be engaged and intrigued for sure.
I won't say we have a full-blown quarterback controversy just yet, but if you're thinking of maybe moving Drake May up your starters board, as in maybe he starts this season. No, maybe it's week 12. No, maybe it's week 9. It could be a lot sooner than later, depending on how Jacoby Brissett plays as well and how much more Drake May continues to improve. When we come back, it's your turn, folks. We'll get to the calls. Bryson, Tom, Joe, Dan, I see you guys lined up on the phone. There's a diversity of opinions and thoughts that we need to get to, and we are here just for that and then some. You're listening to Fitzy and Hart on the Six Rings Postgame Show here on WEEI.
Rod, I know you've mentioned in the past that one of Drake May's positives is that he can make plays by himself and overcome some things around him. I was wondering, would the offensive line ever be an impediment to maybe considering him as the starter, or maybe, you know, not giving him as much time if you don't trust the line?
Yeah, for me, we always talk about competition, and that's at all spots. So even if Drake, you know, beats out Jacoby, I mean, he earned that role, and we don't really take that into consideration when he's ready to go. And if he's better than Jacoby, then he'll play, he'll start.
I mean, it's out there, Andy. Nothing's definite. There's a lot to still figure out about a team in transition that wants to lay a foundation, and it's probably going to take more than their fair share of lumps this season. But one of the things we're all looking forward to is the ultimate starting, ascension, development, and hopefully success of Drake May. And you've got his head coach on the record now after the second pretend season game saying, hey, you know, if he beats him out, if he beats out the guy we paid $8 million to come in, be the starter, be the veteran presence, be his mentor. If he beats him out, he beats him out. So be it. And it sounds like that's something I think the people are more into as well, Andy. Pick the one adjective before I jump into the calls. The one adjective to describe the way that Drake May played tonight.
Impressive. I think it was impressive.
Okay.
For a guy who's seeing his first significant action, I know he made his debut last week, but whatever it was, six snaps. First significant action, got in a long yardage situation there early thanks to, here's a shock, a penalty on the offensive line. Yeah, I thought he was impressive. And if Javon Baker helps him out, and you know I've been beating this drum for a while now, because this has happened a lot in practice, where Polk and Baker...
Yes, sir.
Dropped balls, routes not run properly. But if tonight, Javon Baker, in Javon Baker's stats, it says four targets, one catch, 12 yards. If it says four targets, three catches, like, I don't know, 80 yards, and then Drake May suddenly has 130 yards passing, and maybe one of them's a touch, like, well, I guess neither would have been a touchdown, but whatever. Like, I thought it was really close to being a really, really impressive night, but I still think it was impressive.
Impressive would be, I think impressive is most apropos. I think it definitely was. I went with encouraging earlier. I would say it was quality. That was a quality effort tonight. That, like you mentioned earlier, a lot of second stringers out there as well. However, a lot of the Philly second stringers would probably be first stringers in New England. But that's a different conversation for a different post-game show. I would definitely say that was a high-quality effort put out there by him. So we've gone with intriguing, impressive, quality, encouraging. These are all good things. We have positive takeaways from a team that we know is going to have more than their share of struggles this coming season. What say you, good people of Patriots Nation and listeners of the Six Rings postgame show? 617-779-7937 is your number. Let's go to someone. I think this call might be coming from in the building, or at least it was earlier. Bryson's at Gillette. He'd like to talk about Drake May. What's up, Bryson?
Hello, Uncle Fitzy. How are you all tonight?
Bryson, what's up, my guy? How are you, kid?
I am wonderful tonight. I'm the biggest Drake May fan on this entire planet. And something that I would like to, you know, just talk about here is that, you know, we all like Jacoby Brissett. He's a nice guy. He's a good Patriot. But Drake May, at 16 years old, was better than Jacoby Brissett has ever been in his entire career. And that's no shot at Jacoby Brissett. Drake May is a blue-chip player. And I kind of feel like lied to over the entire summer of what we've been seeing coming out, because it's kind of the opposite of what I've been seeing. And I've kind of been saying that over the entire summer, what's going to happen is people are going to say, well, he's improved. He's improved so much, when he's just been this blue chip player this entire time. And this summer he's been running with the twos and threes, and players have been dropping balls. Offensive line's not very good. So let my boy Drake May cook with the ones. The O-line group is much better with the ones. Drake May, like I said, blue chip player. Let's see what we have. You know, just because a quarterback sits doesn't mean he learns, and just because he plays doesn't mean he's going to be bad. I don't believe you can ruin a blue chip player like Drake May, and I think the smartest thing to do is just see what you have. Give a CJ Stroud route, see if you can get something at the deadline, and every week Drake May is going to get better. Preparing with the ones group every single week, practicing like a starter, and getting integrated with the team and everyone else, you see what you have. That would make the season exciting. What say you, Uncle Fitzy?
Oh, I love the call, Bryson. Thanks for hanging in there. Good first call to take on the night. Andy, he said you can't ruin a blue chip player, just like you say you can't ruin a diamond as well. This has me thinking and wondering aloud now, would it be in the team's best interest? Let's take the suggestion from our first caller on the show tonight, my guy Bryson. What if next week, now we have, I was told there'd be no math. We have 10 days until the pretend season finale, Sunday night, August 25th, 8 o'clock on NBC.
Prime
time. Lucky America, they get football team against Patriots. I'm sorry, Commanders. Why not give Drake May some run with the ones that night? What do you have to lose? It's a game that doesn't count. Reps are his friend. You've got people out there that are big fans that want to see this. You mentioned earlier, I did as well. The stands weren't exactly full. There was a little din, buzz, and electricity once Big Bad Drake made his way into the starting lineup in the second quarter, as Burt Breer and others had tweeted would be the case. Why not give him some run against with the ones? You got nothing to lose.
I mean, if he's in consideration to be the opening day starter, I think you do that. If you're locked in to Jacoby Brissett being the opening day starter, then I think you get the opening day starter the reps to help get him ready for opening day. I don't know where that's trending in Jerod Mayo or Elliot Wolf or Alex Van Pelt's mind. I think it sounded to me, and I'm just reading way too much into tone, Jerod Mayo seemed open to it. I'm not going to lie to you. The way he talked about if he beats out Jacoby, he'll have earned it. And he sounds open to it. Now, what I will say to, who was that guy? Nephew Bryson?
Nephew Bryson.
Yeah, I mean, he either hasn't been at practice or hasn't been watching, because there's been some pretty bad throws, bad days, bad reads by Drake May in practice. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what he's reading, seeing, whatever, but I can tell you, as a huge Drake May advocate who watched all 14 practices, there's been some lows. It hasn't always looked good. It's why I now think part of his makeup is game day May. And all of that. Now, I do think he's a blue chip talent. You know this. I started talking about Drake May in like November and comparing him to Josh Allen before it was cool to compare him to Josh Allen. I'm all in on Drake May, but to just whistle past the graveyard and pretend there haven't been any growing pains this August on the training camp fields, well, that's just revisionist history. That's just not fact. The fact is there's been really poor throws, really poor reads. There's been times he looked over his head running this offense. Now, Bryson brings up, he wasn't on the field with DeMario Douglas. He wasn't on the field with, well, tonight he was on the field with Vidarian Lowe, so he was playing with the first team left tackle tonight, and it nearly got him killed in the third quarter.
I was just going to say, it's a good thing he's still fine and got tuned up a little bit tonight. My God.
Right. So, but yeah, would I like to, you know, hopefully Hunter Henry gets back out there. Would I love to see Drake May get to throw to mostly DeMario Douglas, a guy that can get open quickly, catches the ball, can make some plays if you get it to, you know, you can throw it 3 yards and he can take it 12 kind of guy, and Hunter Henry. I would like to see more reps with those two guys in particular. If I were the coach, would there be a consideration? Absolutely. But I don't know if Jerod Mayo is ready to take, because that's the key. It's not just giving reps to Drake May. It's taking reps away from Jacoby Brissett, who may or may not still be penciled in as the starter.
Yeah, but he's been, this is his ninth year in the league. Like, he's a veteran starter. He can
pick, but you hired him to be a starter. Yeah, like, yeah, he is what he is, but he has to get ready.
A starter, a stopgap, the veteran, yeah.
Yeah, so if you want to say he's not starting, I'm fine with that. Let's do this. I'm ready to roll. But if you're going to ask him to start against the Bengals, then I think you need to give him every opportunity to be prepared to play the Bengals.
Fair point. This is why I suggested that perhaps it is. Look, if you think that Jacoby Brissett is not going to improve that much more if he plays his now 17th former team next Sunday night on NBC in the Washington Commanders. If you think that he's good enough, if you decide to start him, but you want to get that one last look, let's just maybe it should be Drake May. Let's give him some run with the ones. I say you blank around and find out, but these are decisions that are to be made by people in much higher positions who get much more money to make them than I. But hey, if this is a foundation laying, what have you got to lose season, I'm all for it. All right, producer Joe Braverman doing his job just said we got to take a break. Still plenty of calls to take, plenty of discussions to have, and of course, we need to get down in the trenches and do the dirty work of discussing the Matt Judon trade to Atlanta. He went from Red Sleeves to Dirty Bird. Some people are heartbroken. Some people understand. Andy actually thinks it's to the benefit of the team. We'll explain in the second hour of the Six Rings postgame show, coming up here live on WEEI.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yell.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Rod, I know you've mentioned in the past that one of Drake May's positives is that he can make plays by himself and overcome some things around him. I was wondering, would the offensive line ever be an impediment to maybe considering him as the starter, or maybe, you know, not giving him as much time if you don't trust the line?
Yeah, for me, we always talk about competition, and that's at all spots. So even if Drake, you know, beats out Jacoby, I mean, he earned that role, and we don't really take that into consideration when he's ready to go. And if he's better than Jacoby, then he'll play, he'll start.
I mean, it's out there, Andy. Nothing's definite. There's a lot to still figure out about a team in transition that wants to lay a foundation, and it's probably going to take more than their fair share of lumps this season. But one of the things we're all looking forward to is the ultimate starting, ascension, development, and hopefully success of Drake May. And you've got his head coach on the record now after the second pretend season game saying, hey, you know, if he beats him out, if he beats out the guy we paid $8 million to come in, be the starter, be the veteran presence, be his mentor. If he beats him out, he beats him out. So be it. And it sounds like that's something I think the people are more into as well, Andy. Pick the one adjective before I jump into the calls. The one adjective to describe the way that Drake May played tonight.
Impressive. I think it was impressive.
Okay.
For a guy who's seeing his first significant action, I know he made his debut last week, but whatever it was, six snaps. for a significant action, got in a long yardage situation there early thanks to, here's a shock, a penalty on the offensive line. I thought he was impressive. And if Javon Baker helps him out, and you know I've been beating this drum for a while now because this has happened a lot in practice where Polk and Baker dropped balls, routes not run properly. But if tonight Javon Baker, in Javon Baker's stats, it says 4 targets, 1 catch, 12 yards. If it says 4 targets, 3 catches, like, I don't know, 80 yards, and then Drake May suddenly has 130 yards passing, and maybe one of them's a I guess neither would have been a touchdown, but whatever. Like, I thought it was really close to being a really, really impressive night, but I still think it was impressive.
I think impressive is most apropos. I think it definitely was. I went with encouraging earlier. I would say it was quality. That was a quality effort tonight. That, like you mentioned earlier, a lot of second stringers out there as well. However, a lot of the Philly second stringers would probably be first stringers in New England. But that's a different conversation for a different post-game show. I would definitely say that was a high-quality effort put out there by him. So we've gone with intriguing, impressive, quality, encouraging. These are all good things. We have positive takeaways from a team that we know is going to have more than their share of struggles this coming season. What say you, good people of Patriots Nation and listeners of the Six Rings post-game show? 617-779-7937 is your number. Let's go to someone. I think this call might be coming from in the building, or at least it was earlier. Bryson's at Gillette. He'd like to talk about Drake May. What's up, Bryson?
Hello, Uncle Fitzy. How are you all tonight?
Bryson, what's up, my guy? How are you, kid?
I am wonderful tonight. I'm the biggest Drake May fan on this entire planet. And something that I would like to, you know, just talk about here is that, you know, we all like Jacoby Brissett. He's a nice guy. He's a good Patriot. But Drake May at 16 years old was better than Jacoby Brissett has ever been in his entire career. And that's no shot at Jacoby Brissett. Drake May is a blue chip player. And I kind of feel like lied to over the entire summer of what we've been seeing coming out, because it's kind of the opposite of what I've been seeing. I've kind of been saying that over the entire summer, what's going to happen is people are going to say, well, he's improved. He's improved so much when he's just been this blue chip player this entire time. And this summer he's been running with the twos and threes, and players have been dropping balls. Offensive line's not very good. So let my boy Drake May cook with the ones. The O-line group is much better with the ones. Drake May, like I said, blue chip player. Let's see what we have. You know, just because a quarterback sits doesn't mean he learns. And just because he plays doesn't mean he's going to be bad. I don't believe you can ruin a blue chip player like Drake May. And I think the smartest thing to do is just see what you have. Give a CJ Stroud route. See if you can get something at the deadline. And every week, Drake May is going to get better. Preparing with the ones group every single week, practicing like a starter and getting integrated with the team and everyone else. You see what you have. That would make the season exciting. What say you, Uncle Fitzy?
Oh, I love the call, Bryson. Thanks for hanging in there. Good first call to take on the night. Andy, he said you can't ruin a blue chip player. Just like you say, you can't ruin a diamond as well. This has me thinking and wondering aloud now. Would it be in the team's best interest? Let's take the suggestion from our first caller on the show tonight, my guy Bryson. What if next week, now we have, I was told there'd be no math. We have 10 days until the pretend season finale, Sunday night, August 25th, 8 o'clock on NBC. Lucky America, they get football team against Patriots. I'm sorry, Commanders. Why not give Drake May some run with the ones that night? What do you have to lose? It's a game that doesn't count. Reps are his friend. You've got people out there that are big fans that want to see this. You mentioned earlier, I did as well. The stands weren't exactly full. There was a little din, buzz, and electricity once Big Bad Drake made his way into the starting lineup in the second quarter, as Burt Breer and others had tweeted would be the case. Why not give him some run against with the ones? You got nothing to lose.
I mean, If he's in consideration to be the opening day starter, I think you do that. If you're locked in to Jacoby Brissett being the opening day starter, then I think you get the opening day starter the reps to help get him ready for opening day. I don't know where that's trending in Jerod Mayo or Elliot Wolf or Alex Van Pelt's mind. I think it sounded to me, and I'm just reading way too much into tone, Jerod Mayo seemed open to it. I'm not going to lie to you. The way he talked about if he beats out Jacoby, he'll have earned it. And like, he sounds open to it. Now, what I will say to who was that guy? Nephew Bryson?
Nephew Bryson.
Yeah, I mean, he either hasn't been at practice or hasn't been watching, because there's been some pretty bad throws, bad days, bad reads by Drake May in practice. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what he's reading, seeing, whatever, but I can tell you, as a huge Drake May advocate who watched all 14 practices, there's been some lows. It hasn't always looked good. It's why I now think part of his makeup is game day May and all of that. Now, I do think he's a blue chip talent. You know this. I started talking about Drake May in like November and comparing him to Josh Allen before it was cool to compare him to Josh Allen. I'm all in on Drake May, but to just whistle past the graveyard and pretend there haven't been any growing pains this August on the training camp fields, well, that's just revisionist history. That's just not fact. The fact is there's been really poor throws, really poor reads. There's been times he looked over his head running this offense. Now, Bryson brings up he wasn't on the field with DeMario Douglas. He wasn't on the field with, well, tonight he was on the field with Vedarian Lowe, so he was playing with the first team left tackle tonight, and it nearly got him killed in the third quarter.
I was just going to say, it's a good thing he's still fine and got tuned up a little bit tonight. My God.
Right. So, but yeah, would I like to, you know, hopefully Hunter Henry gets back out there. Would I love to see Drake May get to throw to mostly DeMario Douglas, a guy that can get open quickly, catches the ball, can make some plays if you get it to, you know, you can throw it 3 yards and he can take it 12 kind of guy, and Hunter Henry. I would like to see more reps with those two guys in particular. If I were the coach, would there be a consideration? Absolutely. But I don't know if Jerod Mayo is ready to take, because that's the key. It's not just giving reps to Drake May. It's taking reps away from Jacoby Brissett, who may or may not still be penciled in as the starter.
Yeah, that's, see, I don't, but he's been, this is his ninth year in the league. Like, he's a veteran starter. He can,
yeah, but you hired him to be a starter. Yeah, like, yeah, he is what he is, but he has to get ready.
A starter, a stopgap, the veteran, yeah.
Yeah, so if you want to say he's not starting, I'm fine with that. Let's do this. I'm ready to roll. But if you're going to ask him to start against the Bengals, then I think you need to give him every opportunity to be prepared to play the Bengals.
Fair point. This is why I suggested that perhaps it is. Look, if you think that Jacoby Brissett is not going to improve that much more if he plays his now 17th former team next Sunday night on NBC in the Washington Commanders, if you think that he's good enough if you decide to start him, but you want to get that one last look, let's just maybe it should be Drake May. Let's give him some run with the ones. I say you blank around and find out, but these are decisions that are to be made by people in much higher positions who get much more money to make them than I. But hey, if this is a foundation laying, what have you got to lose season, I'm all for it. All right, producer Joe Braverman doing his job just said we got to take a break. Still plenty of calls to take, plenty of discussions to have, and of course, we need to get down in the trenches and do the dirty work of discussing the Matt Judon trade to Atlanta. He went from red sleeves to dirty bird. Some people are heartbroken. Some people understand. Andy actually thinks it's to the benefit of the team. We'll explain in the second hour of the Six Rings postgame show, coming up here live on WEEI.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.